CJLO 1690 AM, Great Explosives, and here we are in the last part of the show. But let's go over what you just heard so you know what you just heard, and then we can finish this out. Sound good? Sounds great. What you heard before the commercials was some Burning Love with Alien vs. Creditor off of Songs for Burning Lovers. Before that, more of this interview with Prepare the Ground co-founders, and some Vile Creature with Glory, Glory. I'm sorry, I probably need to... Glory, Glory! Off of Glory, Glory! Apathy took the helm! Which I have to say that loud and exuberantly because of the exclamation points. You get it. You understand. You get it. So I'm going to play the last part of this interview, and then we're going to end this off with the song that inspired it all, Prepare the Ground, from Yob off of their album Atma. So keep it locked. More CJLO programming coming up here. Big thanks to both KW and Denim for sitting down and talking with me. And, you know, I think I might be at Prepare the Ground in Toronto. I just need to budget it out. You know how it is. We all know how it is. Go check out the website, preparetheground.com, and make sure that you, if you want to go to it, you get your tickets now. Support Canadian festivals so that we can all see that they can work and we can maybe get one closer to home, you know? Or maybe this one just becomes so huge, it rivals Vakken and Roadburn, and it will bring in all the bands that you love. And it's only over in Toronto. It's not that far away. So stay safe out there, everyone. Keep it locked. CJLO. This has been Great A Explosives. I will catch you next week with a South by Southwest preview. Until then, enjoy this.
I think I basically only have two more questions here to go with. And that is, I think we're all a bit more savvy now in the internet age as to what it takes to put on a normal everyday show. But something like this, like a festival, what is something that people don't think about that is kind of the biggest hurdle to overcome that isn't, you know, just getting the bands and producing the capital to make it happen?
KW does this well. Like I was going to say, like all just the thoughtful curation a lot of the time is a big one when it comes to a show. And then there's just also like, I think we're going to try to make an effort to like make sure, I think a lot a trapping, I know I've played so many festivals like this, a trapping of like showcasey kind of club crawls on the artist side is you're just a piece of meat, you're cattle, you're in, out, get the fuck out of here. Like, here's your slop, go. Whereas we kind of wanted to like, at least the artists to like enjoy it and kind of hang out. And like, you know, we're trying to take it up a level from what you would expect in Toronto for artists for a festival of this size.
Yeah, I would say catering is something that people don't think about, where you have to feed close to 150 people every single day. Feed, lodging, small things like we have to backline five different feed.
I just said not like cattle, and you're like, yeah, the feed for the cattle.
You know, the feed, the hay, the grass.
The open fields, you got to have those.
We have to milk the
They got to wander around.
No, but I think it's just the little things you don't think. Like, so for example, certain transport, getting people from airports to venues or to wherever they're staying, the back end logistics of making sure everybody knows where the good areas to stay. 65 bands, probably 45 of them are not, even maybe over 50 are not from Southern Ontario. So they do not know the city as well as we do, or even the area. So making sure they know where to go. Denil was alluding to it, but we've got a really robust catering section and artist hangout area and space that's solely for them where they can kind of hang out. Just a lot of the, you know, it's a lot of bottles of water. It's tiny things you have to think about. That's probably one of the harder parts. And then making sure that we consistently are checking one another to make sure we don't forget something small. It's why having two minds on it is really good. And like I said, we've been working on this festival actively together for 2 years. We started booking it, I would say, Dana, when do you say? April of this past year, 2023, is when we started putting out feelers.
We had the room slightly before then, but yeah.
Yeah, so we put the holds in on the rooms and got the venues confirmed in March or April. We started reaching out to our first bands in April. I think we confirmed our first band right at the beginning of May. Like, we've been working on this forever, and it's a matter of just making sure that as a team, we keep one another in check in a good way, and we don't forget things. So, and listen, it's a first-year festival. We are going to mess up something. It's about learning from that mistake and growing with it. You know, you don't lose, you learn.
That's very sweet.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, I think. And I guess that leads me to the last question here, which is, I know you mentioned at the very, very top of this that you have a volunteer coordinator that's doing things. If someone is in Montreal and they're like, hey, you know what? I have friends in Toronto that I can stay with. I'd like to volunteer and help out this festival. How would they get in touch? How do they help out with this?
So they'll go to preparetheground.com. There's a volunteer application that'll be open for the next few weeks through the rest of February, roughly. And that's the way. Fill it out. You have to be over the age of 19 years old. Just because our venues are all 19 plus this year, that is something we are working on for the future, to be able to have some all ages programming, not all, but some. There's stuff that we're just not in control of. But yeah, the best way to, if you want to become a part of the team, it is volunteering. If you volunteer for a shift, you get access to the other 2 days worth of shows. Some people that we've seen are just, they want to just volunteer and be a part of the festival. So they're volunteering for all 3 days and they just want to do it. That's a great way. We are also on the 14th of February. We will be releasing a handful more 3 day passes. Right now, our 3 day passes, we sold out of all of them very, very quickly. The single day tickets have been on sale. We've worked with our venues to be able to work with the capacity to offer some more 3 day tickets, which will be on sale. And yeah, if you don't want to volunteer your time and be a part of it, and you just want to come and enjoy and you've got a place to crash, I think it's fair to say our tickets are incredibly reasonably priced for a festival of this size.
Incredibly so. Yeah.
Yeah. It averages out to like $54 a day or $52 a day is what the 3 day pass will average out to. There's, you know, 28 bands a day. It's $2 a band is what you end up paying. A lot of festivals this size, the price of the ticket is two or three times that much. So it's easy to support. And the best way to support the festival and make sure that it comes back year after year is to just grab a ticket and come.
Well, thank you guys for taking the time to chat with me and you know, talk about Prepare the Ground, preparetheground.com for anyone that that missed that. And, you know, all the social media things, which are, I'm guessing, probably at Prepare the Ground. Okay. There's always like a little bit, right, that gets added. But yeah, thanks for taking the time to chat.
Thanks very much for having us.
Thank you, yeah.
Go Leafs, go.